Chapter 20. Julian focused his concentration on a mental image of Ravenous, as if he might somehow pick up their empathic link like a radio signal if he tried hard enough. He knew that wasn't how it worked, and that he wasn't going to feel his familiar's presence until they were within a mile of each other, but they'd been walking for a while, and conversation had started to run dry.
"There's a crossroads up ahead," said Stacy.
"That's all we need," said Dave. "More uncertainty. Can you guys slow down? My legs are sore from trying to keep up with you."
As weary as Julian was of the sound of Dave's whining, he had to agree with his assessment of the crossroads situation.
"How will we know which road to take?"
Tony the Elf picked up his pace.
"I'll go ahead and see if I can't find any fresh wagon tracks turning left or right."
He whistled.
"Come on, Dave."
Dave looked up, panting and sweating.
"What?"
Tony the Elf's sheepdog, also called Dave, barked and discontinued urinating on a tree to run after his master. It only took a few minutes to catch up to them, but apparently that was enough time for Tony the Elf to fail his tracking skill. He shook his head as the rest of the party approached.
"I'm sorry, guys," he said. "I got nothing. The north-south road is more traveled, but there's a bit of traffic on the roads heading east and west. I can't tell how fresh any of the tracks are, though."
Julian looked at the road heading west. It was large enough to accommodate a wagon, but only just. The trees loomed closer to the sides of the smaller roads than they did on the more heavily traveled main road.
"If Mordred was worried about being followed," Julian hypothesized aloud, "he might have ducked down one of these smaller roads."
"Huh," said Dave. "Mordred's not worried about being followed. I think he only grabbed Ravenous to bait you into following him in the first place."
Julian nodded. He suspected Dave's reasoning had more to do with cowardice than it had to do with reason, but what he said wasn't untrue. Tony the Elf had already come up empty, but he was still the only tracker in the group. Julian asked him,
"What do you think?"
Tony the Elf shrugged.
"I think it's a good thing I talked you into saving your mount spells. We might have spent their entire duration deliberating about which way to go."
"We have no idea where any of these roads lead, right?" asked Stacy.
"Yeah," said Julian.
"And we have no idea where Mordred is headed?"
Tony the Elf nodded.
"That is our current predicament, yes."
Stacy grinned.
"That's not a predicament. That's the solution."
"Go on,"
said Julian, hopeful that Stacy had put her high intelligence score to work, connecting seemingly random pieces of data together to form some larger picture that the rest of them were incapable of seeing.
"With nothing else to go on, the bigger, more traveled road makes the most sense. There's bound to be some more stuff that way. Whatever Mordred wants, it will more likely be in that direction."
"More stuff,"
said Julian, not bothering to hide his disappointment.
"Hey, it's the best I can do with nothing to work with."
"What if he's trying to level up?"
asked Dave, massaging his right leg just above the knee.
"He'd be more likely to encounter more monsters on a less traveled road."
Julian narrowed his eyes at Dave. He could see what was going on here.
"You're just gainsaying our conclusions so that you have more time to rest your fat little legs."
"What?"
said Dave, overplaying his offended outrage.
"How could you even? I would never. Where do you get off accusing me of?"
Tony the Elf dropped to one knee and placed his palm flat on the road.
"You two idiots, shut up for a second."
He squinted and cupped his right hand next to his ear, focusing it along the road leading eastward.
"Somebody's coming."
Julian looked in that direction, but the road veered to the right and was soon obscured by the trees. They wouldn't get a good look at whoever was approaching until they were nearly right on top of them. Now that everyone was quiet, Julian could also hear the distant rumbles of hooves and wheels on the road.
"We should hide," said Dave. "It might be Mordred."
Tony the Elf looked up at Stacy.
"How many horses were pulling Mordred's wagon?"
"Just one."
"It's not Mordred," said Tony the Elf. "This wagon is being pulled by two horses."
Stacy nodded.
"Impressive."
"I could have told you it wasn't Mordred," said Julian. "I still can't feel Ravenous."
Tony the Elf stood up.
"Whoever it is, they're bound to know these roads far better than we do. We'll ask where each road leads to and use that information to make our best guess as to which way Mordred might have gone."
Everyone half-hearted nodded their consent. The plan didn't seem likely to yield much in the way of useful information, but hopefully it would be better than nothing. They stood shoulder to shoulder, or as in Dave and Julian's case, shoulder to ass, so as to keep from being ignored, but they were ready to jump out of the way should the travelers speed up and threaten to run them over. The rumbling grew louder as the wagon drew closer. A cloud of dust rose from the bend in the road, and from it emerged two white horses. Behind them, seated at the front of a large, sturdy wagon, were two uniformed Cardinian soldiers. The soldier on the left raised his right hand, and the soldier on the right pulled on the horse's reins. The wagon slowed to a halt 20 feet in front of them.
"What sad band of brigands are you who would impede the journey of the king's own soldiers?" demanded the soldier on the left.
"We're very sorry," said Julian. "We don't want to take up much of your time. We just need..."
"Stand aside this instant before we throw you in with this lot."
The soldier cocked his head back. Julian took the gesture to mean that their wagon was full of prisoners.
"Come on, man," said Julian. "We just want to know where these roads lead."
The soldier leaned forward and spoke directly to Julian.
"This is your final warning, elf."
"Let them go, Julian," said Tony the elf. "We'll catch the next one."
Julian noticed then that he was the only one still standing in the wagon's way. Tony the elf and Stacy stood on the right side of the road, and Dave stood on the left. Reluctantly, Julian stepped back to join Dave and let the wagon pass. Who knew how long they'd have to hang around before another wagon came along?
"Yeah!"
said the soldier with the reins, and the horses started moving.
"Hey!"
said Julian, determined to get something out of these pricks.
"Can one of you at least tell me where you're coming from?"
"Ye mum's house,"
said a voice from inside the wagon. A black-skinned half-elf grinned down at Julian from above the paneling on the side of the wagon, which covered all but the very top and bottom of the iron bars. His hair was gray, but Julian suspected it might be white after a wash.
"The line was pretty long, but she was servicing 4 at a time, so it moved quickly. Run on home and give her a kiss for me, eh?"
That was completely uncalled for. Julian had half a mind to jab that stupid grin off his face with his quarterstaff, but didn't imagine that would get him any closer to getting the information he needed, and might even get him thrown back there with him.
"There's really no need for..."
"Gah!"
cried Dave, jogging alongside the wagon as it turned onto the northbound main road.
"He's got my beard!"
He was banging on the side panel as his beard was being pulled under it.
"Stop the wagon!" cried Julian. "They've got my friend's beard!"
The soldier on the right turned around and laughed at Dave.
"Such is the price of your friend's stupidity!"
Facing forward again, he addressed the driver.
"Onward, Gareth!" "Oh my God!"
cried Dave, picking up the pace as the wagon straightened out.
"I think he's eating it!"
Those asshole soldiers weren't going to stop, and Dave wasn't going to be able to move much faster than he was now. It would only be a matter of seconds before he had his face ripped off while being crushed under a wagon wheel. Julian ran to offer whatever aid he could. He didn't carry a blade on him to cut Dave's beard, so he jabbed at the prisoners with his quarterstaff through the bars. Someone grabbed the quarterstaff, and Julian immediately released his grip, not wanting to sacrifice his fingers to save a stick. Fortunately, the occupants of the wagon seemed to regard it a fair trade for what was left of Dave's beard. Dave stood panting on the side of the road with a large, jagged chunk of the right side of his beard missing.
"Are you two okay?"
asked Tony the elf, running up to meet them. Dave wiped the spittle off the chewed-away section of his beard.
"Define okay."
"What a couple of fucking assholes," said Julian.
He was madder than he could ever remember being.
"What do you expect?"
said Tony the elf.
"They're criminals."
"I was talking about the soldiers."
Tony the elf shrugged.
"That's just the way it is. They've got the uniforms. They can be as dickish as they want to be."
"You know what?"
said Julian.
"Screw that. I'll be right back."
"What? Where are you going?"
Julian turned around to face the wagon as it picked up speed.
"Horse!"
A sandy brown mare materialized next to him. He grabbed the saddle horn, slipped a foot into a stirrup, and hoisted himself up.
"Let it go, Julian," said Tony the elf. "They aren't worth it."
Julian didn't look back.
"Ravenous is! Go, horse!"
The wagon had picked up speed, but Julian's horse quickly closed the gap between them and was soon trotting off to the right of the soldier who'd done most of the talking. Julian knew his diplomacy skill would serve him better than magic in his current situation, but he couldn't bring himself to sweet-talk these jerks. He'd go the other way with it. Reverse diplomacy. He cleared his throat. The soldier looked at Julian, then down at his horse.
"Well, well, so the elf knows a little magic trick. Very impressive. Fuck off."
Julian smiled to himself. They wouldn't last 2 minutes. He started singing.
"Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care."
The soldier gave him a scornful look.
"What?"
"Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care."
Julian didn't know any more lyrics to the song, or even if it had more lyrics, but annoyance was what he was going for, and repeating the same line over and over again would yield greater results anyway.
"Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.
I don't care either. Now fuck off."
It was working already.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.
The prisoner who had claimed to have been serviced by Julian's mother gaped at him as he continued to sing, then turned to his fellow prisoners.
The elf's gone and lost his fool mind, he has.
Julian sang louder.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.
The soldier's fists were shaking with rage.
Stop saying that!
The dark-skinned half-elf nodded slowly, appreciating the frustration of his captor. He sang along with Julian.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care! Jimmy crack corn and I don't care!
If this song could drive Pee-wee Herman to jump from a moving train, it could make this bastard crack.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care! Jimmy crack corn and I don't care!
Enough! Said the soldier. Gareth, stop the god's damned horses!
Once the wagon slowed to a stop, he looked at Julian, red-faced and breathing heavily.
What is it you want from me, elf?
I just want to know where you're coming from.
Lighthouse Rock. We're transporting a group of pirates and thieves from the Barrier Islands to Cardinia, where they will be hanged. Are you satisfied now? Or would you like to know what I had for breakfast this morning?
And where does the westbound road lead?
It leads west.
Julian cleared his throat.
Jimmy crack corn and I...
all right, enough.
I've always known elves to be snobbish, but never flagrantly obnoxious.
The westbound road?
A string of unpronounceable elven villages. How is it you don't know where your own people live?
Julian ignored the question.
And what's to the south?
The soldier shrugged.
Port town, of course.
Julian bit his lower lip.
That's a pragmatic name. I take it that's a seaport?
Careful with this one, Sarge, said the conspicuously jovial prisoner. He's a clever one, he is.
The soldier looked back at the wagon.
Keep running that mouth, Tanner. You've got less than a day before it stops running for good.
He turned to Julian.
Yes, it's a seaport. Now are we done with the geography lesson?
Yes, said Julian. Thank you.
As the wagon pulled away, Julian sat atop his horse and thought about his options. The elven villages didn't seem very promising. He couldn't see Mordred recruiting an army of elves, if building an army was even what he had in mind. Elves, to Julian's limited knowledge, were mostly peaceful people who typically liked to keep to themselves. Lighthouse Rock and the Barrier Islands sounded like a better place to recruit a bunch of lowlifes for Mordred's hypothetical terror army, but even that sounded too small time. Port Town made the most sense. If Mordred did mean to take a boat to a different continent, the haystack he was hiding in would grow exponentially larger. And unless he was planning to steal a boat, they probably ran on some kind of schedule. There was a chance, then, that they might be able to catch up with him. He quickly conjured up three more horses. It was time to ride to Port Town. Behind him, from the back of the prison wagon headed to Cardinia, Julian heard the black elf continue singing.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.